People gnash their teeth when they are angry. The British evangelist John Blanchard explained that, and I love this, in his wonderful book, Whatever Happened to Hell. He said, "The wicked will be angry at things which gave them pleasure on earth, but now give them pain in hell. Angry at the sins of that wrecked their lives. Angry at themselves for being who they are. Angry at Satan and his helpers for producing the temptations which led them into sin. And, even while compelled to acknowledge his glory and goodness, angry at God for condemning them to this dreadful state."
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hey there, my friend. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you to Your Place of Grace podcast. I pray that this series that we've been on for the last, 9 weeks now, will be a great blessing to you. It's entitled Only a Heartbeat Away, and as I said, this is part 9, and with a couple more parts to go, I do believe. We'll see what the Lord has in store. But I do hope that you're learning, along with me, from God's Word, about the subject of death, heaven, and hell. Today we're talking about Christ rejectors and eternal punishment. Let me start out by saying everyone, every person will experience life after death. Everybody. The question isn't whether a person will enter eternity, but where he or she will spend it. The one who has trusted in Jesus Christ will spend a wonderful, blissful eternity with him in heaven. But the one who has rejected him will spend eternity apart from God in a place of great suffering. That place is called hell. Now, in previous teachings, I've talked about the fact that it's become increasingly popular today to deny that hell even exists. When church historian Marty was preparing a lecture on this subject to be delivered at Harvard University long ago, he couldn't find a single entry on hell in the indexes of several scholarly journals dating back over 100 years. So he concluded that, and I quote, "Hell disappeared and no one noticed," end quote. At the time of that writing, a number of emerging church leaders are either questioning or denying hell in their books over the years. Meanwhile, it's pretty amazing to think about how the word hell is so flippantly used in our culture today. People often use such phrases as, "Well, you know, all hell broke loose," or, "I'm telling you, I went through hell," or, "That was a hell of a game." And I'll tell you, the effect of these flippant overuses of the term hell is that for many people, the word no longer carries the idea of a literal place of suffering, but it's simply some sort of metaphor of aggression or violence. So today our goal is to consult the Bible on this important and sobering topic. So what is hell? The Bible assures us that hell is a real place. But hell was not part of God's original creation, which he called good in Genesis 1. Listen to me. Hell was created later to accommodate the banishment of Satan and his fallen angels who rebelled against God. Jesus said so. Human beings who reject Christ will join Satan and his fallen angels in this infernal place of suffering. In some versions of the Old Testament, including the Old King James and the New King James, and the Message, the word hell translates the Hebrew word Sheol. Sheol can have several different meanings in different contexts. Sometimes the word means grave. At other times it refers to the place of departed people in contrast to the state of living people. The Old Testament portrays Sheol as a place of horror. We see that in Psalm 30. The Old Testament portrays Sheol as a place of weeping and punishment, as we see in Job 24. But when we get to the New Testament, we find that a number of words relate to the doctrine of hell. It would seem that Hades is the New Testament counterpart to Sheol in the Old Testament. The rich man during the intermediate state endured a great suffering in Hades that Jesus told us about in Luke 16. Hades, however, is a temporary abode, and it will one day be cast into the lake of fire, hell. In the future, the wicked evildoers in Hades will be raised from the dead and judged at the great white throne judgment. They will then be cast into the lake of fire, which will be their permanent place of suffering and agony throughout all eternity. Another word that's related to hell is Gehenna. We see that in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. That word has a really interesting history. Now, for several generations in ancient Israel, there were many atrocities committed in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And those atrocities included human sacrifices, even the sacrifice of little children and babies. These unfortunate victims were sacrificed to the false demon god, Molech. Eventually, the valley came to be used as a public trash dump into which all the filth in Jerusalem was poured. Not only garbage, but also the carcasses of dead animals and the corpses of criminals were thrown on the heap where they would perpetually burn. This place was originally called in the Hebrew Gen Hinnom. Gen Hinnom, the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom. The same was eventually shortened to Gehinnom. Now, the Greek translation of this Hebrew phrase is Gehenna. It became a most appropriate and graphic term for the reality of hell. Our Lord Jesus himself used that word 11 times in reference to the eternal place of suffering of unredeemed humanity. Now, a final word that's related to hell is Tartaros. Tartaros in 2 Peter 2:4. Tartaros occurs only one time in the Bible, and it refers to a place where certain fallen angels, demons, are confined. Most fallen angels are free to roam the earth, engaging in their destructive damage wherever they find opportunity. But these imprisoned fallen angels are not free to roam, apparently because they committed an especially heinous sin against God in the past. In the New Testament, hell is described in a wide variety of ways, and all of them are horrible. There's the lake of fire or burning sulfur. Revelation 19:20 tells us that the beast and the false prophet, two evil, malevolent leaders who come into power during the future tribulation period, will be thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. This takes place before the beginning of Christ's millennial kingdom. That's the thousand-year period following the second coming of Christ, in which Jesus will physically rule on earth. And man, you think about that, and it's so sobering to realize that at the end of the millennial kingdom, 1,000 years after the beast and the false prophet were thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, that the devil himself will be thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were. And the Bible says they will be tormented there day and night forever and ever. That's Revelation 20:10. Now, you got to notice that the beast and false prophet are not burned up or annihilated at the time the devil is thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. They are all burning after 1,000 years. Ooh, these wicked, sinister beings, along with unbelievers of all ages, will be tormented day and night forever. The Lord tells us that in Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. Hell is also described as eternal fire, forever fire. Jesus often referred to the eternal destiny of the wicked as eternal fire. He warns his followers, and I quote, "If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into eternal fire." That's Matthew 18:8. Following the Lord's second coming, when he separates the sheep, that's believers, from the goats, that's unbelievers, Jesus will say to the goats, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Wow, this is sobering. So what precisely is the fire of hell? Some believe it is literal fire, and that may very well be the case. Other people believe fire may be a metaphorical way of expressing the great wrath of God. But the Bible informs us, the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. That's Deuteronomy 4:24. Again, in Hebrews 12:29, the Bible says, "Our God is a consuming fire." In Nahum 1:6, the Bible tells us, "His wrath is poured out like fire." Malachi 3:2 says, "Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire." Jeremiah 4:4 says, "God said in his wrath that he will go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it." How awful is the fiery wrath of God against all sin and sinners. The Bible also talks about the fiery furnace. Sometimes the Bible refers to the destiny of the wicked as the fiery furnace. Jesus said that at the end of the age, heaven's angels will gather all evildoers on earth and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be great weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there's a difference between fiery furnaces on earth and the fiery furnace of hell. On earth, when one throws debris, trash, into a furnace, that trash is utterly consumed. The debris turns to ashes. But dear one, this is not the case for those who suffer eternally in hell. For they never turn to ashes. They are not annihilated. This is really a terrible thing to think about. I mean, ponder that for a moment. But the scriptures are clear that the wicked will suffer eternally in hell. Jesus said so in Mark chapter 9. What does the Bible mean by weeping and gnashing of teeth? Well, weeping carries an idea of wailing, not merely with tears, but with every outward expression of grief. The weeping will be caused by the environment, the company, the remorse and guilt, and the shame that is part and parcel of hell. People gnash their teeth when they are angry. The British evangelist John Blanchard explained that, and I love this, in his wonderful book, Whatever Happened to Hell. Let me quote him here. He said, "The wicked will be angry at things which gave them pleasure on earth, but now give them pain in hell. Angry at the sins of that wrecked their lives. Angry at themselves for being who they are. Angry at Satan and his helpers for producing the temptations which led them into sin. And, even while compelled to acknowledge his glory and goodness, angry at God for condemning them to this dreadful state." End quote. That's heavy. That is so, so heavy. Jesus warned in Matthew 7:13, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many." The ultimate destruction to which Jesus is referring is the destruction wrought in hell. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9 tells us that there will be vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Now, the Greek word translated destruction in that particular verse I just read, it carries the meaning of a sudden ruin or a loss of all that gives worth to existence. The word does not refer to annihilation, but to a separation from God, totally, and a loss of everything worthwhile in life. Just as the term endless life belongs to Christians, so endless destruction belongs to those who opposed and rejected Christ. This is eternal punishment. Forever and ever. Jesus affirmed that the wicked will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That's Matthew 25:46. Please notice now that the eternal punishment of the wicked equals the eternality of the life of the righteous. One is just as long as the other. And this shows that the punishment of the wicked lasts forever. It never, ever ceases. The eternal nature of this punishment is emphasized all throughout the Bible. The fire of hell, for example, is called an unquenchable fire. Unquenchable. Jesus said in Mark 9, that's where the worm of the wicked does not die. The smoke of the sinner's torment goes up forever and ever. I think here what's really significant is this reference in Revelation 20:10 to the devil, the beast, and the false prophet being tormented in the lake of fire forever and ever. This is really significant, loved one, because the Greek word translated forever and ever is used elsewhere in Revelation in reference to the endless worship of God. The word is also used of the endless life of God. And further, the word is used in reference to Christ's endless kingdom. While the suffering of evildoers and Christ rejecters is endless. Endless. Think about that. Endless. Now, unquestionably, the greatest pain suffered by those in hell is that they are forever excluded from the presence of God. So if ecstatic joy is found in the presence of God, then utter despair, utter dismay is found in his absence. At the future judgment, some will actually claim to be Christians and will claim to have served Christ during their years on earth. But Jesus will say to them, "I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil." That's Luke 13, verse 27. And such individuals will find themselves forever excluded from God's presence. They will forever be away from the presence of the Lord. Let me close by saying this. At the judgment of the sheep, that means believers, and at the judgment of the goats, that means unbelievers, Jesus Christ will command the goats, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." What utterly horrific words to hear from the lips of our divine judge. Let's pray, dear one. Abba, Father, precious Heavenly Father, we know from Scripture that it's not your desire for people to end up in hell. We're well aware that you are not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we recognize that, Father, you take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Our understanding of what the Bible says about hell renews our motivation to reach the lost, especially in these last days. So, Father, enable us, please, to boldly participate in fulfilling the Great Commission to reach all nations and all peoples with the gospel message. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to effectively contend for the faith that was once for all handed down to the saints. We thank you. We praise you, O Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear one, for listening today. And I know this was a very sobering subject in our podcast, in this series. But it's necessary because Jesus spoke of the reality of hell more often than he did heaven. It's true. And if you haven't already, I pray that you will open your heart today to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life as your personal Savior and Lord. Do that today. If you have any questions about our lesson today, any questions about God's Word, please contact me at my website, yourplaceofgrace.com. Click on the contact tab and send your, not only your questions, but hey, if you have prayer requests, please send them to me. And I'll be happy to join with you in prayer. I will even send you a word of encouragement. And I thank you again for listening. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May God have a smiling countenance forever toward you, and may he give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory. May our God grant you unconditional love and laughter within your marriage, family, home, relationships, and may our Lord grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your very long, long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.